we present Marius Goring in The Winslow Boy by Terence Rattigan, adapted for broadcasting by Peter Watts. The Winslow Boy.
Master Ronnie! Why, good gracious, we weren't expecting you back till Tuesday.
Yes, I know.
Oh, why ever didn't you let us know you were coming, you silly boy? The idea of a child like you wandering all over London by yourself. What your father and mother will say, I don't know. They'll be back any minute now.
Where are they, Violet?
A church, of course.
Oh, yes. It's Sunday, isn't it?
What's the matter with you? What have they been doing to you at Osborne?
What do you mean?
Oh, that Navy School seems to have made you a bit soft in the head or something. Well, I suppose I better get your unpacking done. Mr. Dick has been using your chest of drawers for all his dress clothes and things, but he can find room for them somewhere else.
Shall I help you?
I know your help. I'd be at it all day. No, you just wait down here. I must be going.
Oh, dear. What am I to do? What am I to do? Oh, here they are. Oh, I can't. I'll go into the garden.
But he's so old, dear. From the back of the church, you really can't hear a word he says.
He's a good man, Grace.
But what's the use of being good if you're inaudible?
A problem in ethics for you, Father.
Well, it's a draught, Grace. The French window's open.
Oh, dear. It's coming on to rain.
Well, I'm on Mother's side. The old boy's so doddery now, he can hardly finish the course at all.
I don't think that's very funny, Richard.
Oh, don't you, Father?
Doddery though Mr. Jackson may seem now, I very much doubt if he failed in his pass mods when he was at Oxford.
Oh, dash it, Father. Didn't I stay in all last night, a Saturday night, and work?
You stayed in, Dickie. I would be the last to deny that.
Oh, Dickie, dear, you were making rather a noise with that gramophone of yours. I wish you were as good about work as Ronnie.
Oh, I like that. All Ronnie ever has to do with his fruitling little homework is to add two and two.
Ronnie is at least proving a good deal more successful in adding two and two than you were at his age.
Oh, I know, I know. He got into Osborne and I failed. That's going to be brought up again.
Nobody's bringing it up.
Oh, yes, they are. Ronnie's the good little boy. I'm the bad little boy. You've just stuck a couple of labels on us that nothing on earth is ever going to change.
How stupid of him to say that about labels. There's no truth in it at all, is there, Kate?
No, Mother.
What are you reading, Kate?
Len Rogers' memoirs.
Who's Len Rogers?
A trade union leader.
Does John know you're a radical?
Oh, yes.
And a suffragette?
Certainly.
And he still wants to marry you.
He seems to.
Oh, by the way, I've asked him to come early for lunch so that he can have a few words with Father first.
Good idea. I hope you've been primed, have you, Father?
What's that?
You know what you're going to say to John, don't you? You're not going to forbid the match or anything, are you? Because I warn you, if you do, I shall elope.
Never fear, my dear. I'm far too delighted at the prospect of getting you off our hands at last.
I'm not sure I like that at last.
Do you love him, dear?
John? Yes, I do.
Such a funny girl. You don't behave as if you were in love.
My dear mother, I love John in every way that a woman can love a man. And far, far more than he loves me. Does that satisfy you?
Oh, really, Kate, darling, I didn't ask for anything quite like that. Just look at the rain. Kate, darling, does Esmond know about you and John?
Well, I haven't told him, but on the other hand, if he hasn't guessed, he must be very dense.
He is very dense.
Oh, no, Arthur, Desmond's quite clever. Kate, darling, you will be kind to him, won't you?
Yes, Mother, of course I will.
He's really... Hello, there's someone in the garden.
Where?
He's just gone behind that bush. It's a boy, I think. Oh, probably Mrs. Williamson's awful little Dennis.
Well, whoever it is must be getting terribly wet.
Is that John? Yes, it is, John. Quick, Kate, in the dining room.
All right.
What's up?
We're leaving you alone with John. When you've finished, knock on the floor with your stick three times and then we'll come in.
You don't think that might look a trifle coincidental?
Shh. Mr. Weatherstone.
How are you, John? I'm very glad to see you.
How do you do, sir?
Will you forgive my not getting up? My arthritis has been troubling me rather a lot lately. Do you smoke?
Yes, I do. Thank you. In moderation, of course.
Of course. Well, now, I understand you wish to marry my daughter.
Yes, sir.
Perhaps you won't mind if I ask you a few rather personal questions.
Oh, naturally not, sir. It's your duty.
Quite so. Now, your income. Are you able to live on it?
No, sir. I'm in the regular army.
Yes, of course.
But my army pay is supplemented by an allowance from my father.
So I understand. Now, your father's allowance would be, I take it, about £24 a month.
Yes, sir, that's exactly right.
So that your total income, with your subaltern's pay plus the allowance from your father, would be, I take it, about £420 a year.
Again, exactly the figure.
Well, I really don't think I need delay my congratulations any longer.
Thank you, sir, very much.
Your answers to my questions deserve an equal frankness from me about Catherine's affairs. I'm afraid she's not, just in case you thought otherwise, the daughter of a rich man.
I didn't think otherwise, sir.
Good. Well, now, would you be so good as to touch the bell?
Wait, sir.
Thank you. Well, now, to continue. The bank pays me a small pension, 350 to be precise, and my wife has about 200 a year of her own. Apart from that, we have nothing except such savings as I've been able to make during my career at the bank, the interest from which raises my total income to approximately £800 per annum.
You rang, sir?
Yes, Violet. My compliments to Mr. Dickey. And if he doesn't stop that cacophonous hullabaloo at once, I'll throw him and his infernal machine into the street.
Yes, sir.
Well, now, where were we? Ah, yes. Now, in addition, I have to maintain two sons. One at Osborne, the other at Oxford, neither of whom, I'm afraid, will be in a position to support himself for some time to come. One because of his extreme youth, the other because of, other reasons. So, you see, I'm not in a position to be very lavish as regards Catherine's dowry.
No, sir, I quite see that.
I propose to settle on her 1/6 of my total capital, which, worked out to the final fraction, is exactly £833.06.08.
I call that very generous, sir.
Not as generous as I should have liked, I'm afraid. Well, then, if you're agreeable to that arrangement, I don't think there's anything more we need discuss.
No, sir.
Splendid. Would you mind passing my stick? Thank you.
Pretty rotten weather, isn't it?
Yes, vile. Excuse me. Well, imagine that. My wife and daughter are in here of all places. Come in, Grace. Come in, Catherine. John's here.
Why, John, how nice. Well, is everything all right, John?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad. I really am.
Thank you, Mrs. Winslow.
I think we might allow ourselves a little modest celebration at luncheon. Grace, will you find me the key of the cellars?
Oh, yes, dear. I don't suppose you two will mind being left alone for a few minutes, will you?
Well, darling.
Was it an ordeal?
I was scared to death.
Poor darling.
The annoying thing was that I had a whole lot of neatly turned phrases ready for him, and he wouldn't let me use them.
Such as?
How proud and honored I was, and how determined I was to make you a loyal and devoted husband, all that sort of thing.
Anything about loving me a little?
Well, that I thought we could take for granted.
I see. And what about your father? How did he take it?
All right.
I bet he didn't.
Oh, yes. He's been wanting me to get married for years. Getting worried about grandchildren, I suppose.
He disapproves of me, doesn't he? He has a way of looking at me through his monocle that shrivels me up.
He's just being a colonel, darling, that's all. Anyway, what about the way your father looks at me? Tell me, what all your family as scared of him as I am?
Oh, Dickie is, of course. And Ronnie, though he doesn't need to be. Father worships him. I'm not, ever.
You're not scared of anything, are you?
Oh, yes, heaps of things.
Such as?
Oh, they're nearly all concerned with you.
You might be a little more explicit.
Kate.
Ronnie. What on earth?
Where's Father?
Oh, go and tell him you...
No, don't. Please, Kate, don't.
What's the trouble, Ronnie? Darling, you're wet through. You better go and change.
No.
What's the trouble, honey? You can tell me.
Well,
I'll disappear.
In the dining room, do you mind?
Of course not.
Well, now, darling, tell me. What is it? Have you run away?
No.
What is it, then?
There's a letter.
Show me. Oh, my God.
I didn't do it. Kate, I didn't. Really, I didn't.
No, darling. This letter's addressed to Father. Did you open it?
Yes.
Well, you shouldn't have done that.
I was going to tear it up. Then I heard you come in from church. Kate, shall we tear it up now?
No, darling.
Hello, Ronnie, old lad. How's everything?
What, you knew he was here?
Oh, yes. His trunks and things are all over our room. Trouble?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
You stay here with him. I'll go and find Mother.
All right. What's up, old chap?
Nothing.
Come on, tell me.
It's all right.
Have you been sacked?
Yes.
Oh, bad luck. What for?
I didn't do it.
No, of course you didn't.
Honestly, I didn't.
Well, I don't know what it is they sacked you for yet.
Stealing.
Oh, is that all? Good Lord, I didn't know they sacked chaps for that these days. Why, good heavens, at school we used to pinch everything we could jolly well lay our hands on. All of us. Ah, believe me, old chap, pinching's nothing. Nothing at all.
Ronnie.
Mother.
There, darling. It's all right now.
I didn't do it, Mother.
No, darling, of course you didn't. Now, we'll go upstairs now, shall we, and get out of these nasty wet clothes.
Oh, don't tell Father.
No, darling, not yet, I promise. Calm down now. Your new uniform, too. What a shame.
Oh, Kate, I better go and keep Cavey for them. Ward off the old man if he looks like going upstairs. Oh, I say, who's going to break the news to him? I mean, someone will have to.
Well, don't let's worry about that now.
Well, you can count me out.
John!
Bad news.
Yes.
Oh, I'm awfully sorry.
How can people be so cruel?
Expelled, I suppose.
Why should they torture a child of that age, John, darling? What's the point of it?
What's he supposed to have done?
Stolen some money.
Oh.
10 days ago, it said in the letter. Just think what that poor little creature's been going through these last 10 days. Is it any wonder he's nearly out of his mind?
Yes, it does seem pretty heartless, I admit.
Heartless? It's cold, calculated inhumanity. I'd love to have that commanding officer here for just 2 minutes.
Darling, you must remember, he's not really at school. He's in the service.
What difference does that make?
Well, they have ways of doing things in the service that may seem to an outsider horribly brutal, but at least they're always scrupulously fair. Oh, I'm sorry, Catherine, darling. I'd have done better to keep my mouth shut.
No. What you said was perfectly true.
It was tactless of me to say it, though. Forgive me.
Nothing to forgive.
Oh, believe me, I'm awfully sorry. How will your father take it?
It might kill him. Oh, heavens, we've got Desmond coming to lunch. I'd forgotten.
Who?
Desmond Curry, our family solicitor. Lord, darling, be polite to him, won't you?
Why, am I usually so rude to your guests?
No, but he doesn't know about us yet.
Oh.
He's been in love with me for years. Oh, it's a family joke.
Mr. Curry.
Hello, Desmond. I don't think you know John Leatherstone.
No. But, of course, I've heard a lot about him.
How do you do?
Well. Oh, I trust I'm not early.
No, Desmond, dead on time, as always.
Capital.
Tell me, Desmond, are you...
I'm sorry.
Quite all right. I was only going to ask how you did in your cricket match yesterday, Desmond.
Well, not too well, I'm afraid. My shoulder's still giving me trouble. Well, I hear I'm to congratulate you both.
Desmond, you know.
Oh, yes. Yes, Violet told me just now in the hall. I'm sure you'll both be very happy.
Thank you, Desmond.
Hello, Desmond, dear.
Hello, Mrs. Winslow.
I've got him to bed, Kate.
Oh, good.
Nobody ill, I hope.
Oh, no, nothing wrong at all.
Grace, dear. Hello, Desmond. How are you? You're not looking well.
Am I not? I've strained my shoulder, you know.
Well, why do you play these ridiculous games of yours? Resign yourself to the onrush of middle age and abandon them, my dear Desmond.
Oh, I could never do that. Not give up my cricket, not altogether.
Are you any relation of D.W.H. Curry, who used to play for Middlesex?
I am D.W.H. Curry.
Didn't you know we had a great man in the room?
Gosh, Curry of Curry's match.
That's right.
Hat-trick against the players in, what year was it?
1895, at Lords. 26 overs, 9 maidens, 37 runs, 8 wickets.
Gosh. Do you know you used to be a schoolboy hero of mine?
Did I indeed? Oh.
Gosh. D.W.H. Curry in person. Well, I'd never have thought it.
I know. Very few people would nowadays.
You rang, sir?
Yes, Violet. Bring some glasses, will you?
Very good, sir.
I thought we'd try a little of the Madeira before luncheon. We're celebrating, you know, Desmond.
Arthur.
My wife's 54th birthday.
Arthur.
It's all right, Father. Desmond knows.
Yes, indeed. It's wonderful news, isn't it? I will most gladly drink a toast to the...
happy pair, I think is the phrase that is eluding you.
Well, as a matter of fact, I was looking for something new to say.
A forlorn quest, my dear Desmond. No one, with the possible exception of Voltaire, could find anything new to say about an engaged couple. Ah, thank you, Violet. My dear Dickie, just in time for a glass of Madeira in celebration of Kate's engagement to John.
Oh, is Kate definitely being entered for the marriage, Tex? Good egg.
Quite so. Take these round, will you, Violet?
Yes, sir.
I should have added just now, with the possible exception of Voltaire and Dickie Winslow. Catherine and John.
Catherine and John.
Ah, Violet, we mustn't leave you out. You must join this toast.
Well, thank you, sir. Not too much, sir, please. Or just a sip.
Quite so. Your reluctance would be more convincing if I hadn't noticed you brought an extra glass.
Oh, I didn't bring it for myself, sir. I brought it for Master Ronnie.
Oh.
Miss Kate and Mr. John.
You brought an extra glass for Master Ronnie, Violet.
Well, I thought you might allow him just a sip, sir. Just to drink the toast. He's that grown up these days.
Master Ronnie isn't due back from Osborne until Tuesday, Violet.
But I saw him with my own two eyes, sir, as large as life.
Grace, what does this mean?
All right, Violet, you can go.
Yes, miss.
Did you know Ronnie was back, Kate?
Yes.
And you, Dickie?
Yes, Father.
Grace?
We thought it best you shouldn't know. Only for the time being, Arthur.
Is the boy ill? Well, answer me, someone.
No, Father, he's not ill.
Will someone tell me what's happened, please?
Kate.
Go on, Mother.
He brought this letter for you, Arthur.
Read it to me, please.
Arthur, not in front of...
Read it to me, please.
It's all right, Mother.
Confidential. I am commanded by my Lord's Commissioners of the Admiralty to inform you that they've received a communication from the Royal Naval College at Osborne reporting the theft of a 5-shilling postal order at the college on the 7th instant. Investigation of the circumstances leaves no other conclusion possible than that the postal order was taken by your son, Cadet Ronald Arthur Winslow. My lords deeply regret that they must therefore request you to withdraw your son from the college. It's signed by someone. I can't quite read the name.
Desmond,
yes.
Be so good as to call Violet.
Violet.
Yes, sir.
Violet, will you ask Master Ronnie to come down and see me, please?
Very good, sir.
Perhaps the rest of you would go into luncheon. Grace, would you take him in?
Arthur, don't you think...
Dickie, will you decant that bottle of claret I brought up from the cellar?
Yes, Father.
Will you go in, Desmond?
Yes, of course.
John?
Sir.
Arthur.
Yes, Grace?
Please don't...
What mustn't I do?
Please don't forget. He's only a child.
Come on, Mother.
Come in. Come in and shut the door. Come over here. Why the dressing gown? Why aren't you in your uniform?
It got wet.
How did it get wet?
I was out in the garden in the rain.
Why?
I was hiding.
From me?
Yes.
Do you remember once you promised that if ever you were in trouble of any sort, you would come to me first?
Yes, Father.
Why didn't you come to me now?
I don't know, Father.
Are you so frightened of me? In this letter, it says you stole a postal order.
But, Father...
Now, I don't want you to say a word until you've heard what I've got to say. If you did it, you must tell me. I shan't be angry with you, Ronnie, provided you tell me the truth. But if you tell me a lie, I shall know it, because a lie between you and me can't be hidden. So remember that before you speak. Did you steal this postal order?
No, Father, I didn't.
Did you steal this postal order?
No, Father, I didn't.
All right. Go on back to bed.
Yes, Father.
And in future, I trust that a son of mine will at least show enough sense to come in out of the rain.
Yes, Father.
Hello. Are you there? I want to put a trunk call through, please. Yes. I want the Royal Naval College, Osborne. That's right. Replace receiver? Certainly.
Oh, it's only you, Kate. Hello. Do you think the old man can hear this upstairs?
I shouldn't think so. I couldn't.
Ah, soft needle and an old sweater down the hall. Is the doctor still with him?
Yes.
What's the verdict, you know?
I heard him say Father needed a complete rest.
Ah, don't we all? I say, you look a treat. New dress.
Oh, is it like... No, it's an old one I've had done up.
Where are you going to?
Daly's. Dinner first at the Cry.
Nice. You wouldn't care to take me along with you, I suppose?
You suppose quite correctly.
Well, you've been engaged nearly a year now. John wouldn't mind.
I dare say not. I would.
Oh, I wish I had someone to take me out.
Here's the evening paper, Mr. Dickie.
Oh, good egg.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, all right. After you.
You won't throw it away, will you, miss? If there's anything in it again, Cook and I would very much like to read it after you.
No, that's all right, Violet.
Thank you, miss.
Ah, now. Ah, here it is. The Osborne Cadet. Oh, two more letters.
Two.
Sir, I'm entirely in agreement with your correspondent, Democrat, concerning the scandalously high-handed treatment by the Admiralty of the case of the Osborne Cadet. The efforts of Mr. Arthur Winslow to secure a fair trial for his son have evidently been thwarted at every turn by a soulless oligarchy.
Oh, it's soulless oligarchy. That's rather good.
Oh, do shut up, Dickie. It is high time private and peaceful citizens of this country awoke to the increasing encroachment of their ancient freedom by the new despotism of Whitehall. Your obedient servant, Libertatis Amato.
Good for old Amato.
And the others from Perplexed. Dear sir, surely we have more important matters to get ourselves worked up about than a 14-year-old boy in a 5-shilling postal order, silly old fool. I sincerely trust that this will finally end this ridiculous and sordid little storm in a teacup. I am, sir, etc., Perplexed. Oh, this correspondence must now cease. Editor, damn. Oh, dear, how hopeless it all seems sometimes.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? But you know, Kate, the awful thing is, if it hadn't been my own brother, I think I might quite likely have seen Perplexed Point.
Might you?
Well, I mean to say, a mere matter of pinching. And it's also beastly expensive.
Mm.
Ah, let's cheer ourselves up with some music.
Music, is that what it's called?
Come and practice a few steps. I say, jolly good.
Thank you, Dickie.
Who taught you? John, I suppose.
No, as a matter of fact, I taught John.
Feminism? Even in love? When's the happy date now?
Postponed again.
Oh, no. Why?
His father's gone abroad for 6 months.
Well, who pays any attention to that old gentleman?
I wouldn't, but John does, so I have to.
I'd say there's nothing wrong, is there?
No.
I mean, you're not going to be left on the altar rails or anything, are you?
Oh, no. I'll get him past the altar rails if I have to drag him there.
Oh,
it was entirely my fault, Father. I enticed Dickie from his work to show me a few dance steps.
Oh. I must admit, I'm surprised you succeeded.
What did the doctor say, Father?
He said, if I remember his exact words, that we weren't quite as well as when we last saw each other. That information seems expensive at a guinea. Oh, is that the evening paper? Let me see it, please.
Is Sir Robert Morton coming to see you here?
I could hardly go and see him with this leg, could I?
Oh, no, I must go and do something about my hair.
What's the matter with your hair?
Nothing, except I don't like it very much.
Dickie, do you mind if I disturb your studies for a moment?
Oh, no, Father.
I want to ask you a question. What do you suppose one of your bookmaker friends would lay in the way of odds against your getting a degree?
Sir about evens?
I rather doubt if at that price your friend would find many takers. What about the odds against you eventually becoming a civil servant?
Well, a bit steeper, I suppose.
Exactly. Quite a bit steeper.
You don't want to have a bet, do you?
No, Dickie, I'm not a gambler. And that's the trouble. Unhappily, I'm no longer in a position to gamble £200 a year on what you yourself admit is an outside chance.
Oh, not an outside chance, Father, a good chance.
Not good enough, Dickie, I'm afraid, with things as they are at the moment.
You want me to leave Oxford, is that it?
I'm very much afraid so, Dickie.
Oh.
I can get you a job in the bank.
Oh, Lord.
It'll be quite a good job, you know. Luckily, my influence in the bank still counts for something.
It's the case, I suppose.
It's costing me a lot of money.
I know, it must be. Still, couldn't you... I mean, isn't there any way...
No.
Oh, Lord.
I'm afraid this is rather a shock to you, Dickie. I'm sorry.
What? Oh, no. No, it isn't really. I've been rather expecting it, as a matter of fact. Especially since I've heard you're hoping to brief Sir Robert Morton. Sure, I admit it's a bit of a slap in the face.
Oh, that's a journalist coming to see me. Do you mind if we talk about this some other time?
No, of course not, Father.
You'll find the decanter in the dining room.
Oh, thanks awfully, Father.
I must thank you, Dickie, for bearing what must have been a very unpleasant blow with some fortitude.
Oh, rot, Father.
The Daily News.
Mr. Winslow, that's so good of you to see me.
How do you do?
You're surprised to see a lady reporter. I know everyone is. And yet, why not? What could be more natural?
Oh, what indeed? Pray sit down.
Oh, thank you. My paper usually sends me out on stories which have a special appeal to women. Stories with a little heart, you know, like this one. A father's fight for his little boy's honor.
I venture to think this case has rather wider implications than that.
Oh, yes. The political angle, I know. Very interesting, but not quite my line of country. Where is your little boy?
My son is arriving from school in a few minutes. His mother's gone to the station to meet him.
From school? How interesting. So you got a school to take him? I mean, they didn't mind the unpleasantness.
No.
And why is he coming back this time?
He hasn't been expelled again, if that's what you're implying. He's coming to London to be examined by Sir Robert Morton, whom we are hoping to brief.
Sir Robert Morton? Well?
Exactly.
Do you really think he'll take a little case like this?
It is not a little case, madam.
Oh, no, of course not, but still, Sir Robert Morton.
I understand that he's the best advocate in the country. He's certainly the most expensive.
Oh, yes. Well, now... perhaps you wouldn't mind giving me a few details. When did it all start?
9 months ago. My solicitor demanded from the Admiralty the fullest possible inquiry. For weeks we were ignored, then met with a blank refusal, and only finally got reluctant permission to view the evidence.
Really?
My solicitors decided that the evidence was highly unsatisfactory. We applied to the Admiralty for a court-martial. They ignored us. We applied for a civil trial. They ignored us again.
They ignored you?
Yes. But after tremendous pressure had been brought to bear,
letter to the papers, questions in the House, and other means open to private citizens of this country, the Admiralty eventually agreed to what they called an independent inquiry.
Oh, good.
It was not good, madam. At that independent inquiry, conducted by the judge advocate of the fleet, against whom I'm saying nothing, mind you, my son, a child of 14, was not represented by counsel, solicitors, or friends. What do you think of that?
Fancy.
You may well say fancy. Inevitably, he was found guilty again, and thus branded for the second time before the world as a thief and a forger.
What a shame.
I need hardly tell you, madam, that I am not prepared to let the matter rest there. I shall continue to fight this monstrous injustice with every weapon and every means at my disposal. Now, it happens I have a plan.
What charming curtains. Oh, what are they made of?
Madam, I fear I have no idea.
Ah, do I hear the poor little chap himself?
Hello, Father.
Hello, Ronnie. Hello, Grace, my dear.
I say, Father, Mr. Moore says I'm to tell you I needn't go back until Monday, if you like. So that gives me 3 whole days.
Mind my leg.
Oh, sorry, Father.
How are you, my boy?
Oh, I'm absolutely top hole, Father. Mother says I've grown an inch.
Grace, dear, this lady is from the Daily News. She's extremely interested in your curtains.
Oh, really? How nice.
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. And I was wondering what they were made of.
Well, it's an entirely new material, you know. And apparently, it's a sort of mixture of wild silk.
Oh, and... just a second, Mrs. Winslow. I'm afraid my shorthand isn't very good.
Father, are we going to be in the Daily News?
It appears so.
Oh, good. They get the Daily News in the school library, and everyone's bound to see it.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Winslow, and the very best of good fortune in your inspiring fight. Goodbye, little chap. And remember, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. Well, Mrs. Winslow, I'm sure our readers will be most interested. I've never seen such delightful curtains.
I see you out of
bond. Oh, thank you.
What's she talking about?
The case, I imagine.
Oh, the case. Father, do you know the train had 14 coaches?
Remarkable. I had your half-term report, Ronnie.
Oh, yes.
On the whole, it was pretty fair.
Oh, good.
What a charming woman, Arthur.
Ronnie, go upstairs and get washed. Sir Robert will be here in a few minutes.
Go on, darling.
Oh, all right. Violet! Violet! I'm back!
Did the doctor say anything, dear?
A great deal, but very little to purpose.
Violet says that he left an ointment for your back. 4 massages a day, is that right?
Something of the kind.
I think you'd better have one now, hadn't you, Arthur?
No.
Oh, but really, Arthur, it does seem awfully silly to spend all this money on doctors if you're not even going to do what they say.
All right, Grace, all right.
Thank you, dear.
Oh, Ronnie's back, judging by the noise.
Oh, I must say, Kate, that old frock's come out very well. John will never know it isn't brand new.
As he's late, Kirsten.
Grace, go on up and attend to Ronnie and prepare the witch's brew for me. I'll come up when you're ready.
Very well, dear.
Oh, Kate. Are we both mad, you and I?
Now, what's the matter, Father?
I don't know. I suddenly feel suicidally inclined. A father's fight for his little boy's honor. Photo inset of Mrs. Winslow's curtains. Is there any hope for the world?
I think so, Father.
Shall we drop the whole thing, Kate?
I don't consider that a serious question.
You realize that if we go on, your marriage settlement must go.
Oh, yes, I gave that up for last week's ago.
Things are all right between you and John, aren't they?
Why, yes, Father, of course. Everything's perfect.
Very well, then. Let us pin our faith to Sir Robert Morton. I want the best.
Well, you know I don't think Morton is the best in this case.
Then why does everyone say he is?
Because if one happens to be a large monopoly attacking a trade union or a Tory paper libeling a Labour leader, he is the best. But it utterly defeats me how you or anyone else could expect a man of his record to have his heart in a case where the boot's entirely on the other foot.
Well, I imagine if his heart isn't in it, he won't accept the brief.
Well, he might still. It depends what there is in it for him. Luckily, there isn't much.
There's a fairly substantial check.
Oh, he doesn't want money. He must be a very rich man.
What does he want, then?
Anything that advances his interests.
I believe you're prejudiced because he spoke against women's suffrage.
I am. I'm prejudiced because he's always speaking against what's right and just. Now, did you read his speech in the House on the Trade Disputes Bill?
Arthur! Oh, well, in the words of the Prime Minister, wait
and see. You're my only ally, Kate. Without you, I believe I should have given up long ago.
Rubbish.
It's true. Still, you must sometimes allow me to make my own decisions. I have an instinct about Morton. Well, we'll see which is right. My instinct or your reason, eh?
I'm afraid we will. Oh, it's all right, Violet. It's only Mr. Weatherstone. I'll answer it.
Desmond, I'm so sorry. I was expecting a friend. Won't you sit down, Sir Robert? My father won't be long. Won't you sit here? It's far more comfortable.
No, thank you. Sir Robert has a most important dinner engagement, so we came a little early.
Oh, I see.
I'm afraid Sir Robert can only spare us a very few minutes of his most valuable time this evening. Of course, it's a long way for him to come, so far from his chambers. And very good of him to do it, too, if I may say so.
I know. I can assure you we're very conscious of it.
Perhaps I'd better advise your father of our presence.
Oh, yes, do, Desmond. You'll find him in his bedroom having his back rubbed.
Oh, I see.
Is there anything I can get you, Sir Robert? Whiskey and soda or brandy?
No, thank you.
Will you smoke?
No, thank you.
I suppose you know the history of this case, do you, Sir Robert?
I believe I have seen most of the relevant documents.
Do you think we can bring the case into court by a collusive action?
I really have no idea.
Connie and Connie seem to think that might hold.
Do they? Well, they're a very reliable firm.
I'm rather surprised that a case of this sort should interest you at all, Sir Robert.
Are you?
It seems such a very trivial affair compared to most of your great forensic triumphs. I was in court during your cross-examination of Len Rogers in the trades union embezzlement case.
Really?
It was masterly.
Thank you.
I suppose you heard that he committed suicide a few months ago?
Yes, I had heard.
Many people believed him innocent, you know.
So I understand. As it happens, however, he was guilty.
Sir Robert? I'm Arthur Winslow.
How do you do? My wife?
How do you do?
My son should be down in a minute. I expect you wish to examine him. Just a few questions. I fear that is all I shall have time for this evening.
I'm rather sorry to hear that. He's made the journey from school especially for this interview, and I was hoping that by the end of it, I should know definitely yes or no if you would accept the brief.
Well, perhaps Sir Robert would consent to finish his examination some other time.
Might be arranged. Tomorrow? Tomorrow's impossible. I'm in court all the morning and in the House of Commons for the rest of the day. So if a further examination should prove necessary, it will have to be sometime next week.
I see. Will you forgive me if I sit down?
Curry's been telling me you think it might be possible to proceed by petition of right.
What's a petition of right?
Well, granting the assumption that the Admiralty, as the Crown, can do no wrong...
But I thought that was exactly the assumption we refused to grant.
But in law, I mean.
Oh.
Now, a subject can sue the Crown, nevertheless, by petition of right. The custom is for the Attorney General, on behalf of the King, to endorse the petition and allow the case to come to court.
It is interesting to note that the exact words he uses on such occasions are, let right be done. Let right be done. I like that phrase, sir. It has a certain ring about it, has it not? Let right be done. This is my son, Ronald. Ronnie, this is Sir Robert Morton.
How do you do, sir?
He's going to ask you a few questions. You must answer them all truthfully, as you always have. I expect you'd like us to leave.
No.
Provided, of course, that you don't interrupt. And Miss Winslow, will you sit down, please?
Oh, yes.
Ronald, will you stand at the table, facing me?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now, how old are you?
14 and 7 months.
You were then 13 and 10 months old when you left Osborne. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, I would like you to cast your mind back to July the 7th of last year. Will you tell me in your own words exactly what happened to you on that day?
All right. Well, it was a half holiday. So, just before dinner, I went to the chief petty officer and asked him to let me have 15 and 6 out of what I had in the school bank.
Why did you do that?
I wanted to buy an air pistol.
Which cost 15 and 6?
Yes, sir.
And how much money did you have in the school bank at the time?
£2.03.
So you see, sir, what incentive could there possibly be for him to steal 5 shillings? I must ask you, sir, to be good enough not to interrupt me. After you'd withdrawn the 15 and 6, what did you do?
I had dinner.
Then what?
I went to the locker room and put the 15 and 6 in my locker.
Yes? Then?
I went to get permission to go down to the post office. Then I went to the locker room again, got out my money, and went down to the post office.
I see. Go on.
I bought my postal order.
For 15 and 6?
Yes. Then I went back to college. Then I met Elliot Miner, and he said, I say, isn't it rot? Someone's broken into my locker and pinched a postal order.
Those were Elliot Miner's exact words?
He might have used another word for rot.
I see. So continue.
Well, then, just before prep, I was told to go along and see Commander Flower. The woman from the post office was there, and the commander said, is this the boy? And she said, it might be. I can't be sure. They all look so much alike.
You see, she couldn't identify him. I'm sorry. Go on.
Then she said, I only know that the boy who bought a postal order for 15 and 6 was the same boy that cashed one for 5 shillings. And then they made me write Elliot Miner's name on an envelope and compared it to the signature on the postal order. Then they sent me to the sanatorium, and 10 days later I was sacked. I mean, expelled.
I see. Did you cash a postal order belonging to Elliot Miner for 5 shillings?
No, sir.
Did you break into his locker and steal it?
No, sir.
And that is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Right. And when the commander asked you to write Elliot's name on an envelope, how did you write it? With Christian name or initials?
I wrote Charles K. Elliot.
Charles K. Elliot. Did you by any chance happen to see the forged postal order in the commander's office?
Oh, yes, the commander showed it to me.
Before or after you'd written Elliot's name on the envelope?
After.
After. And did you happen to see how Elliot's name was written on the postal order?
Yes, sir. The same.
When you wrote on the envelope, what made you choose that particular form?
That was the way he usually signed his name.
How did you know?
Well, he was a great friend of mine.
That is no answer. How did you know?
Well, I'd seen him sign things.
What things?
Oh, ordinary things.
I repeat, what things?
Bits of paper.
Bits of paper. And why did he sign his name on bits of paper?
I don't know.
You do know. Why did he sign his name on bits of paper?
He was practicing his signature.
And you saw him?
Well, yes.
In other words, he showed you exactly how he wrote his signature.
Yes, I suppose he did.
Did you practice writing it yourself?
I might have done.
What do you mean, I might have done? Did you or did you not?
Yes.
Ronnie, you never told me that.
Oh, it was only for a joke.
Never mind whether it was for a joke or not. The fact is, you practiced forging Elliot's signature.
It wasn't forging.
What do you call it, then?
Writing.
Very well. Writing. Whoever stole the postal order and cashed it also wrote Elliot's signature, didn't he?
Yes.
And oddly enough, in the exact form in which you had early been practicing writing his signature.
I say, which side are you on?
Don't be impertinent. Are you aware that the Admiralty sent up the forged postal order to Mr. Ridgely Pierce, the greatest handwriting expert in England?
Yes.
And you know that Mr. Ridgely Pierce affirmed that there was no doubt that the signature on the postal order and the signature you wrote on the envelope were by one and the same hand?
Yes.
And you still say you didn't forge that signature?
Yes, I do.
In other words, Mr. Ridgely Pierce doesn't know his job.
Well, he's wrong anyway.
When you went into the locker room after dinner, were you alone?
I don't remember.
I think you do. Were you alone in the locker room?
Yes.
Why did you go in there at all?
I told you, to put my 15 and 6 away.
Why?
I thought it'd be safer.
Why safer than your pockets?
I don't know.
You had it in your pocket at dinner time. Why this sudden fear for its safety?
I tell you, I don't know.
Was it because you knew you would be alone in the locker room at that time?
No.
Where was Elliot's locker in relation to yours?
Next to it but one.
Next but one. What time did Elliot put his postal order in his locker?
I don't know. I didn't even know he had a postal order.
Yet you say he was a great friend of yours.
He didn't tell me he had one.
How very secretive of him. What did you do after leaving the locker room?
I've told you, I went for permission to go to the post office.
What time was that?
About 2:15.
Dinner is over at 2:45, which means that you were in the locker room for half an hour.
I wasn't there all that time.
How long were you there?
About 5 minutes.
What were you doing for the other 25?
I don't remember.
Your memory is so good about some things and so bad about others.
Perhaps I waited outside the CO's office.
Perhaps you waited outside the CO's office. And perhaps no one saw you there, either.
No, I don't think they did.
Perhaps you were still in the locker room rifling Elliot's locker.
Sir Robert, I must ask you...
Quiet.
I remember now. Someone did see me outside the CO's office. A chap called Casey. I remember I spoke to him.
What did you say?
I said, come down to the post office with me. I'm going to cash a postal order.
Cash a postal order?
I mean get.
You said cash. Why did you say cash if you meant get?
I don't know.
I suggest cash was the truth.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't, really. You're muddling
you
me.
You seem easily muddled. How many other lies have you told?
None. Really, I haven't.
I suggest your whole testimony is a lie.
No, it's the truth.
I suggest there is barely one single word of truth in anything you have said. I suggest that you broke into Elliot's locker, that you stole the postal order for 5 shillings belonging to him, that you cashed it by means of forging his name.
I didn't.
I suggest that you did it for a joke, meaning to give Elliot the 5 shillings back. But that when you met him and he said he had reported the matter, you got frightened and decided to keep quiet.
No, it isn't true.
I suggest that by continuing to deny your guilt, you are causing great hardship to your own family and considerable annoyance to high and important persons in this country.
That's a disgraceful thing to say.
I agree.
I suggest the time has come at last for you to undo some of the misery you have caused by confessing to us all now that you are a forger, a liar, and a thief.
No. I'm not.
Oh,
I didn't
Ronnie,
do it.
Darling.
This is outrageous.
Can I drop you anywhere, Curry? My car's at the door.
No, I thank you, no.
Well, send all the stuff round to my chambers tomorrow morning, will you?
But will you need it now?
Oh, yes. The boy is plainly innocent. I accept the brief.
And that the Admiralty, during the whole of the dispute which has been dragging on for the past 9 months, have at no time acted hastily or ill-advisedly. Ronnie.
Yes, Father?
I am reading the account of the Commons debate. Would you like to listen, or would you rather go to bed?
Oh, I'd like to listen, of course, Father. I was listening, too, only I had my eyes shut.
Poor lamb. It's long past bedtime, Arthur.
Grace, dear, at this very moment, your poor lamb is the subject of a very violent and heated debate in the House of Commons. I should have thought, in the circumstances, it might have been possible for him to contrive to stay awake for a few minutes past bedtime.
I expect he's overexcited.
A picture of overexcitement. Asleep again.
Oh, he's dead tired. He'll be better off in bed.
I dare say. But the debate continues, and until we hear the outcome, the cause of it all will certainly not make himself comfy in his little bed.
There are 3 more reporters in the hall, sir. Want to see you very urgently. Shall I let them in?
No, certainly not. I issued a statement yesterday. Until the debate's over, I have nothing more to say.
Yes, sir, that's what I told them, but they wouldn't go.
Well, make them. Use force, if necessary.
Yes, sir.
Grace, dear.
Yes?
I fancy this might be a good opportunity of talking to Violet.
No, dear.
Meaning that it isn't a good opportunity? Or that you have no intention of ever talking to Violet?
I'll do it one day, Arthur. Tomorrow, perhaps. Not now.
I believe you'd do better to grasp the nettle. Delay only adds to your worries.
My worries? What do you know about my worries?
A good deal, Grace. I feel they'd be a lot lessened if you faced the situation squarely.
It's easy for you to talk, Arthur. You don't have to do it. It's a brutal thing to do.
Facts are brutal things.
Facts? I don't think I know what facts are anymore.
The facts at this moment are that we have a half of the income we had a year ago, and we're living at nearly the same rate. However you look at it, that's bad economics.
I'm not talking about economics, Arthur. I'm talking about ordinary, common or garden facts. Things we took for granted a year ago, and which now don't seem to matter anymore.
Such as?
Well, such as a happy home and peace and quiet and some sort of future for us and our children. In the last year, you've thrown all that overboard, Arthur. I can only pray to God that you know what you're doing.
I know exactly what I'm doing, Grace. I'm going to publish my son's innocence before the world. And for that end, I'm not prepared to weigh the cost. There is no sacrifice in the world I'm not prepared to make.
Oh, I wish I could see the sense of it all. Ron is perfectly happy at a good school, doing very well. No one need ever have known about Osborne if you hadn't shouted it out to the whole world. As it is, whatever happens now, he'll go through the rest of his life as the boy in the Winslow case. The boy who stole that postal order.
The boy who didn't steal that postal order.
What's the difference? When millions are talking and gossiping about him, a did or a didn't hardly matters. The Winslow boy is enough. You talk about sacrificing everything for him, but when he's grown up, he won't thank you for it, Arthur, even though you've given your life to publish his innocence, as you call it.
Oh.
Yes, Arthur, your life. You talk gaily about arthritis and a touch of gout and old age and the rest of it. You know as well as any of the doctors what really is the matter with you. You're destroying yourself, Arthur, and me, and your family besides. For what, I'd like to know. I've asked you and Kate to tell me 100 times, but you never will. For what, Arthur?
For justice, Grace.
That sounds very noble. Are you sure it's true? Are you sure it isn't just plain pride and sheer brute stubbornness?
No, Grace, I don't think it is. I really don't think it is.
Arthur, this time I'm not going to cry and say I'm sorry and make it all up again. I can stand anything if there's a reason for it, but for no reason at all, it's unfair to ask so much of me. It's unfair.
Grace.
What's the matter, Father?
Your mother's a little upset.
Why? Aren't things going well?
Oh, yes. Very well. Very well indeed. You'd better go to bed now, Ronnie. You'll be more comfortable. Asleep again.
Some sandwiches for Miss Kate, sir.
Thank you, Violet.
And a letter for you, sir.
Oh, put it there, Violet. Oh, Violet.
Yes, sir.
How long have you been with us?
24 years, come April, sir.
Is it as long as this?
Yes, sir. Miss Kate was only that high when I first came. And Mr. Dickey hadn't even been thought of.
No. No, nor he had. What do you think of this case, Violet?
A fine old rumpus, that is, and no mistake.
It is, isn't it? A fine old rumpus.
And when you think it's all because of our master Ronnie, I have to laugh about it sometimes, I really do. Wasting the government's time at his age, I never did. Oh, well, wonders will never cease.
I know. Wonders will never cease.
Would that be all, sir?
Yes, Violet. That'll be all.
Oh, good evening, Violet.
Good evening, miss.
Hello, Father.
What's happened? Is the debate over?
As good as. The First Lord gave an assurance that in future there would be no inquiry at Osborne or Dartmouth without informing the parents first. And that seemed to satisfy most members.
But what about our case? Is he going to allow us a fair trial?
Apparently not.
But that's iniquitous. I thought he'd be forced to do...
Yes, I thought so too. The House evidently thought otherwise.
Will there be a division?
Maybe. If there is, the government will win.
What is the motion?
To reduce the First Lord's salary by £100. Naturally, no one really wants to do that. Oh, these sandwiches for me.
Yes. So we're back where we started, then.
Looks like it.
But didn't Sir Robert make any protest when the First Lord refused a trial?
No, not a verbal protest. Something far more spectacular and dramatic. He'd had his feet on the Treasury table and his hat over his eyes during most of the First Lord's speech. And then he suddenly got up, very deliberately, glared at the First Lord, threw a whole bundle of notes on the floor and stalked out of the house.
Oh, it made a magnificent effect. If I hadn't known, I could have sworn he was genuinely indignant.
Of course he was genuinely indignant. Any man of feeling would be.
Now, Sir Robert, father dear, is not a man of feeling. I don't think any emotion at all can stir that fishy heart.
Except perhaps a single-minded love of justice.
Nonsense. Single-minded love of Sir Robert Morton.
You're very ungrateful to him, considering all he's done for us these last months.
No, I'm not ungrateful, father. He's been wonderful.
Well, then,
It's only his motives I question. At least I don't question them at all. I know them.
What are they?
First, publicity. You know, look at me, the staunch defender of the little man. And then, second, a nice popular stick to beat the government with, both very useful to an ambitious man. And luckily for him, we've provided them.
Luckily for us, too, Kate.
I agree, but don't fool yourself about him, father, for all that. Man's a fish. Hard, cold-blooded, supercilious, sneering fish.
Sir Robert Morton.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Something gone down the wrong way. May I assist?
Oh, thank you.
Good evening, sir. I thought I'd call and give you an account of the day's proceedings. But I see your daughter's forestalled me.
Oh, did you know I was in the gallery?
With such a charming hat, how could I have missed you? Ah, there's the cause of it all. Dormant.
Yes, I'll wait.
No, I beg you. Please do not disturb these innocent slumbers.
Innocent slumbers?
Exactly. Besides, I fear since our first encounter, he is, rather pardonably, a trifle nervous of me.
Sir Robert, will you betray a technical secret? What happened in that first examination to make you so sure of his innocence?
Well, three things. First of all, he made far too many damaging admissions. A guilty person would have been much more careful and on his guard. Secondly, I laid him a trap. And thirdly, left him a loophole. Anyone who was guilty would have fallen into the one and darted through the other. He did neither.
And the trap was to ask him suddenly what time Elliot put the postal order in his locker, wasn't it?
Yes. And the loophole? When I suggested to him that he'd stolen the postal order for a joke, which had he been guilty, he would surely have admitted to as being the lesser of two evils.
Oh, I see. It's very cleverly thought out.
Thank you.
My daughter's told me of your demonstration during the First Lord's speech. She described it as, magnificent.
Did she? That was good of her. It's a very old trick, you know. It's nearly always surprisingly effective. Was the First Lord at all put out by it? Did you notice?
How could he have failed to be? I wish you could have seen it, Father. It was up. When did this letter come?
A few minutes ago. Do you know the writing?
Yes. I shouldn't bother to read it if I were you.
All the same, I will. Give it to me, Catherine. Will you forgive me, Sir Robert?
Of course.
Well, Sir Robert, what do you think the next step should be?
I've already been considering that, Miss Winslow. We seem to have failed with the Admiralty, but there are other ways of getting the Director of Public Prosecutions to act.
Father, Sir Robert thinks we might get the Director of Public Prosecutions to act.
What? We were discussing how to proceed with the case. The case. Yes, we must think of that, mustn't we? How to proceed with the case. I'm afraid I don't think, all things considered, that much purpose would be served by going on.
Show me that letter, Father. Thank you.
Of course we must go on. It is not for you to choose, sir. The choice is mine.
Then you must reconsider it. Whatever the contents of that letter, I insist that we continue the fight.
Insist? We? It is my fight. And it's for me alone to judge when the time has come to give up.
But why give up? Why? In heaven's name, man, why?
I've made many sacrifices for this case, Sir Robert. Some of them I had no right to make. But there's a limit, and I've reached it. I'm sorry, Sir Robert. More sorry, perhaps, than you are. But the Winslow case is now closed. Balderdash.
My father doesn't mean what he says, Sir Robert.
I'm glad to hear it.
Perhaps I should explain this letter.
No, Kate.
Sir Robert knows so much about our family affairs, Father. I don't see it'll matter much if he learns a little more. This letter's from a certain Colonel Wabberstone, who's the father of the man I'm engaged to.
And in it, he says that our efforts to discredit the Admiralty in the House of Commons today have resulted merely in our making the name of Winslow a nationwide laughingstock. I think that's his phrase.
I don't care for his English.
It's not very good, is it? And he goes on to say that unless my father will give him a firm undertaking to drop this whining and reckless agitation, I suppose he means the case, he'll exert every bit of influence he has over his son to prevent him marrying me.
I see. An ultimatum.
Yes. But a pointless one.
Well, sir?
I'm afraid I can't go back on what I've already said. I will give you a decision in a few days.
Your daughter seems prepared to take the risk.
I am not. Not at least until I know how great a risk it is.
How do you estimate the risk, Miss Winslow?
Negligible.
I see. I really must apologize to you, sir, for speaking to you as I did just now. It was unforgivable.
Not at all, sir. You were upset at giving up the case. And to be frank, I liked you for it.
Of course, you must decide about the case as you wish. That really is a most charming hat, Miss Winslow.
I'm glad you like it.
Seems decidedly wrong to me that a lady of your political persuasion should be allowed to adorn herself with such a very feminine allurement. Best of both worlds.
Oh, I'm not a militant, you know, Sir Robert. I don't go about breaking shop windows or pouring acid down pillar boxes.
I'm truly glad to hear it. Both those activities would be highly unsuitable in that hat.
I think...
Mr. Weatherstone's in the hall, miss. Says he'd like to have a word with you in private, most particular.
Oh... I'll come out to him.
No, no, see him in here. You wouldn't mind coming to the dining room, would you, Sir Robert, for a moment?
Not in the least.
All right, Violet.
Will you come in, sir?
Hello, John.
Hello. Is Ronnie asleep?
Oh, yes.
Are you sure he's not shamming?
Yes.
My father's written your father a letter.
I've read it.
Oh.
Have you?
Yes, he showed it to me. Well, what's his answer?
My father. I don't suppose he'll send one.
Oh, it was damned high-handed to the old man, I'd admit.
High-handed?
Well, I tried to get him not to send it.
I'm glad.
The trouble is, if your father does decide to go on with the case, I'm very much afraid he'll do everything he threatens.
But forbid the match.
Yes.
But John, isn't that rather an empty threat?
Well, there's always the allowance.
Oh, yes, I see, and... without your allowance, would we be in the soup?
And without your settlement. My dear girl, of course we would. Dash it all, I can't even live in my pay as it is, but with two of us.
Well, I've heard it said that two can live as cheaply as one.
Don't you believe it. Two could live as cheaply as two. And that's all there is to it.
Yes, I see. I didn't know.
Well, this is the way I see it. I'm going to be honest now. I hope you don't mind.
No, I should welcome it.
Your young brother over there pinches, or doesn't pinch, a five-bob postal order. For over a year, you and your father fight a magnificent fight on his behalf, and I'm sure everyone admires you for it.
Your father hardly seems to.
Well, he's a diehard, like those old admirals you've been up against. I meant ordinary, reasonable people like myself. But now look, you've had two inquiries. And now, good heavens, you've had the whole damn House of Commons getting themselves worked up into a frenzy about it. Surely, darling, that's enough for you. Surely the case can end there.
Yes, I suppose the case can end there.
I mean, he won't mind.
Ronnie? No, I know he won't.
Look at him. Perfectly happy and content, not a care in the world. How can you be so sure he didn't do it?
Well, I'm not so sure he didn't do it.
Good Lord, then why in heaven's name have you and your father spent all this time and money trying to prove his innocence?
His innocence or guilt aren't important to me. They are to my father, but not to me. I believe he didn't do it, but I may be wrong. All I care about is that people should know that a government department has ignored a fundamental human right and that it should be forced to acknowledge it. That's all that's important to me.
But, darling, after all those long, noble words, it does really resolve itself to a question of a 14-year-old kid and a five-bob postal order, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Well, now, look. There's a European war blowing up. There's a coal strike on. There's a fair chance of civil war in Ireland. And yet, with all that on its mind, the House of Commons take a whole day to discuss him and his bally personal order. Surely you must see that's a little bit out of proportion.
All I know is, John, that if ever the time comes that the House of Commons can't find time to discuss a Ronnie Winslow and his ballet postal order, this country will be a far poorer place than it is now.
I don't know whether you realize that all this publicity you're getting is making the name of Winslow a bit of a... well...
a nationwide laughing stock, your father said.
Well, that's putting it a bit steep. But people do find the case a bit ridiculous, you know. I mean, I get chaps coming up to me in the mess all the time and say, I say, is it true you're going to marry the Winslow girl? You'd better be careful. You'll find yourself up in front of the House of Lords for pinching the adjutant's bath. Things like that. They're not awfully funny.
Yes, I see. Do you want to marry me, John?
You know I do. Have I ever wavered before?
No, never before.
I'm not wavering now. I'm only telling you what I think's the best course for us to take.
But isn't it already too late? Even if we do give up the case, would you still want to marry the Winslow girl?
All that would blow over in no time.
And we'd have the allowance.
Yes, we would.
And that's so important.
Oh, it is, darling. I'm sorry, but you can't shame me into saying it isn't.
I didn't mean to shame
you. Oh, yes, you did. I know that tone of voice.
I'm sorry.
Well, now, what's the answer?
I love you, John. And I want to be your wife.
Well, then, that's all I wanted to know. Darling, I was sure nothing so stupid and trivial could possibly come between us.
Hello? Oh, yes. Will you wait a minute? Sir Robert, someone wants you on the telephone.
Oh, thank you. I'm so sorry to interrupt.
You didn't. We'd finished our talk.
Sandwiches. How delicious. May I help myself?
Do.
Hello? Yes, Michael? F.E.? Oh, no, he was going to speak. I see. Go on. Well, thank you, Michael. Is your father... there you are, Mr. Winslow. There's been a most interesting development in the house, sir.
What?
My secretary tells me that a barrister friend of mine, who quite unknown to me was interested in the case, got on his feet shortly after 9:30... and delivered one of the most scathing denunciations of a government department ever heard in the House. What a shame we missed it. His style is quite superb.
What happened?
Oh, the debate revived, of course. And the First Lord suddenly found himself under attack from all parts of the House. It appears that, rather than risk a division, he has this moment given an undertaking that he will request the Attorney General to endorse our petition of right. Well, I think we may take it that the case of Winslow versus Rex can now therefore come to court. What are my instructions, sir?
The decision is no longer mine. You must ask my daughter.
What are my instructions, Miss Winslow?
Well, Kate?
Do you need my instructions, Sir Robert? Aren't they already on the petition? Doesn't it say, let right be done?
Good night, Kate.
Well, then, we must endeavor to see that it is.
Mother! Kate! Anyone about?
Oh, hello, darling. When did you get here? Oh, I'll answer that. Everyone's out. You're thinner.
I say, does that phone go on all the time?
All the blessed day. The last 4 days it simply hasn't stopped.
I had to fight my way in through an army of reporters and people. How's it all going?
I don't know. Kate says the judge is against us, but he seems a charming old gentleman to me. Sir Robert's so rude to him. Nobody in.
Arthur, lunch.
Kate takes the morning session, then she comes home and relieves me with Arthur. Then I go to the court in the afternoon, so you can come with me as soon as she's in.
How is Kate, Mother?
Oh, all right. You heard about John, I suppose.
Yes, that's what I meant. How's she taken it?
You never can tell with Kate. We all think he's behaved very badly.
Oh, Arthur, you shouldn't have come down the stairs by yourself.
I had little alternative.
Oh, sorry, dear. I was talking to Dickie. Let me help you into your wheelchair.
Thank you. How are you, Dickie?
Very well, thank you, Father.
I've been forced to adopt this ludicrous form of propulsion. I apologize. You're looking very well. Trifle thinner, perhaps.
Hard work, Father.
Or late hours.
Oh, you can't keep late hours in Reading.
You could keep late hours anywhere. Catherine's late. She was in at 12:30 yesterday. Did you say my lunch was ready?
Yes, dear. It's only cold. I did the salad myself. Violet and Cook are at the trial.
That'll do very well.
How is he?
Not too well, I'm afraid.
Will you take him away after the trial?
He's promised to go into a nursing home, but he'll probably find some new excuse.
But surely if he loses this time, he's lost for good, hasn't he?
So they say, Dickie dear. I could only hope it's true.
Poor old mother.
Oh, Lord, the heat. Mother, can't you get rid of those reporters from the doorstep?
Oh, hello, Dickie.
Hello, Kay.
Come to be in at the death.
Is that what it's going to be?
Looks like it.
Oh, dear.
Yes, Sir Robert's very worried. He said the Attorney General's speech made a great impression on the jury. And I must say it was very clever. To listen to him yesterday, you'd have thought that a verdict for Ronnie would simultaneously cause a mutiny in the Royal Navy and triumphant jubilation in Berlin.
You're late, Catherine.
Oh, yes, I know, Father. I'm sorry. There was such a huge crowd outside, I couldn't get a cab. Oh, and I stayed to talk to Sir Robert.
How did it go this morning?
Well, Sir Robert finished his cross-examination of the postmistress. And I thought he'd demolished her completely. She admitted she couldn't identify Ronnie in the commander's office. She admitted that she was called away to the telephone while he was buying his postal order. And that all Osborne cadets looked alike to her in their uniform. Oh, it was a brilliant cross-examination. He just coaxed her into tying herself into knots. And then when he'd finished, the Attorney General asked her once again whether she was absolutely positive that the same boy who bought a postal order for 15 and 6 also cashed one for 5 shillings. And yes, she said, she was quite sure because Ronnie was such a good-looking little boy that she'd specially noticed him. I believe it undid the whole of that magnificent cross-examination.
If she thought him so especially good-looking, why couldn't she identify him the same evening?
Oh, don't ask me, Father. Ask the Attorney General. I'm sure he has a beautifully reasonable answer.
Did you see anybody interesting in court, dear?
Yes, Mother. John Weatherstone.
John? I hope you didn't speak to him, Kate.
Well, of course I did.
Oh, Kate, how could you? What did he say?
He wished us luck.
What impertinence. I think that's the most disgraceful, cold-blooded...
Grace, you'll be late for the resumption.
Oh, will I? Are you ready, Dickie?
Yes, Mother.
What time are they resuming, Kate?
2:00.
Well, it's 20 past now.
Oh, dear, we'll be terribly late. Now, Dickie, when you get to the front door, put your head down like me and just charge through them all. Come on, Dickie. I always shout, I'm the maid and don't know nothing, so don't be surprised.
Right there, Mother.
Are we going to lose this case, Kate? It's our last chance.
I know.
We've got to win it. I wonder if we were right, Kate. I wonder if we could have had a better man.
No, Father. We couldn't have had a better man.
You admit that now, do you?
Only that he's the best advocate in England, and for some reason, prestige, I suppose, he seems genuinely anxious to win this case. I don't go back on anything else I've ever said about him.
The papers said that he began today by telling the judge he felt ill. Might have to ask for an adjournment. I trust he won't collapse.
Oh, he won't. It was just another of those brilliant tricks of his. It got him the sympathy of the court and possibly... No, I won't say that.
Say it.
Possibly provided him with an excuse if he's beaten.
You don't like him, do you?
Oh, there's nothing in him to like or dislike, Father. I admire him, but... Well, who's that? Oh, Desmond.
I trust you don't object to me employing this rather furtive entry from the garden. The crowds at the front door are most alarmed.
Come in, Desmond.
I wonder if I might see Catherine alone. I have a matter of some urgency to communicate to her.
Oh. Do you wish to hear this urgent matter, Kate?
Yes, Father.
Very well. I shall go and finish my lunch.
Allow me.
Thank you. I can manage this vehicle without assistance.
I fear I should have warned you of my visit. Perhaps I've interrupted
you. Oh, no, no, Desmond. Please sit down.
Thank you. I'm afraid I have only a very short time. I have a question to put to you, Kate, which, had I postponed putting it until after the verdict, you might, who knows, you might have thought it had been prompted by pity if we had lost. Or if we had won, your reply might, again, who knows, have been influenced by gratitude. Do you follow me, Kate?
Yes, I think I do.
Then you possibly have some inkling of what the question is that I have to put to you.
I'm sorry. I ought, I know, to have followed the usual practice and told you I had no inkling whatever.
Oh, no, no, no. Your directness and honesty are two of the qualities I so much admire in you.
Will you give me a few days to think it over?
Of course. You see, Kate, I know very well what your feelings for me really are.
Do you, Desmond?
Oh, yes, Kate. I know quite well. They've never amounted to much more than a sort of, shall we say, friendliness. Or warm friendliness, I hope. But no more than that. That is true, isn't it?
Yes, Desmond.
When I was younger, it might perhaps have been a different story. When I played cricket for England. But of course, perhaps even that would not have made so very much difference. But no matter what you feel or don't feel for me, Kate, no matter what you feel for anyone else, I want you to be my wife.
I see. Thank you, Desmond.
So much more that I'd meant to say. I shall put it in a letter.
Yes, do.
Then I may expect your answer in a few days.
Yes, Desmond.
Yes. Well, I must get back to court. How did you think it went this morning? A brilliant cross-examination, was it?
Oh, brilliant.
It's a strange man, Sir Robert. At times so cold and distant and...
Fish-like.
Fish-like, exactly. And yet he has a real passion about this case, a real passion. I happen to know... Of course, this must on no account go any further. But I happen to know that he's made a very, very great personal sacrifice in order to bring it to court.
Sacrifice?
He was offered... You really promised to keep this to yourself.
What was he offered, Desmond?
The appointment of Lord Chief Justice. He turned it down simply in order to be able to carry on with the case of Winslow versus Rex. Strange are the ways of men, are they not? Well, goodbye, my dear.
Goodbye, Desmond.
May I come in now?
Oh, yes, Father, he's gone.
Oh, thank goodness for that. I object to eating my piece of mutton while the crowds in the street gaze at me as though it were feeding time at the zoo.
I've been a fool, Father.
Have you, my dear?
An utter fool.
In default of further information, I can only repeat, have you, my dear? What did Desmond want?
To marry me.
I trust the folly you were referring to wasn't your acceptance of it.
No, Father. Would it be such folly, though?
Lunacy.
Oh, I don't know. He's nice, and he's doing very well as a solicitor.
Neither very compelling reasons for marrying him.
No, seriously, I shall have to think it over.
Think it over by all means, but decide against it.
I'm nearly 30, you know.
30 isn't the end of life.
It might be, for an unmarried woman with not much looks.
Rubbish. Far better to live and die an old maid than to marry Desmond. Poor Kate. How I've messed up your life, haven't I?
No, Father. Any messing up that's been done has been done by me.
I'm so sorry, Kate. So sorry.
Don't be, Father. We both knew what we were doing.
Yet our motives seem to have been different all along. Yours and mine, Kate. Can we both have been right?
I believe we can. I believe we have.
You aren't going to marry Desmond, are you?
In the words of the Prime Minister, Father, wait and see.
What's that boy shouting, Kate?
Oh, only Winslow case latest.
Didn't sound to me like latest. Open the window.
Winslow case resolved!
result.
Winslow case result!
Winslow
case result! Must be some mistake.
Oh, sir.
Well, what's happened?
Oh, Miss Kate, what a shame you missed it. Just after they come back from lunch, the cheering and the shouting and the carrying on, and Sir Robert standing there at the table with his wig on crooked and the tears running down his face. Cook and me, we did a bit of crying too. We just couldn't help it. Oh, it was lovely. And then Cook had her hat knocked over her eyes for the man behind. He was cheering and waving his arms about something chronic and shouting about liberty. And we kept on cheering and the judge kept on shouting. But it wasn't any good because even the jury joined in. And then outside in the street, well, you couldn't move for the crowd. Some of them were shouting, good old Winslow, and singing for he's a jolly good fellow. And Cook had her hat knocked off again. Oh, it was lovely. Oh, sir, you must be feeling nice and pleased now it's all over.
Yes, Violet, I am.
Yes, that's right. Oh, well, said it had come all right in the end now, didn't I? Oh, poor madam. Oh, what a sell for her when she gets to the court and finds it all over.
It would appear, then, that we've won.
Yes, Father. It would appear that we've won.
I should like to have been there.
Sir Robert Morton.
I thought you might like to hear the actual terms of the Attorney General's statement. And so I jotted it down for you. I say now on behalf of the Admiralty that I accept the declaration of Ronald Arthur Winslow that he did not write the name on the first lauder, that he did not steal it, and that he did not cash it, and that consequently he was innocent of the charge which was brought against him 2 years ago.
Thank you, sir. It's rather hard for me to find the words I should speak to you.
Well, let us take those rather tiresome and conventional expressions of gratitude for granted, shall we? Now, the question of damages and costs. I fear we shall find the Admiralty rather niggardly. However, doubtless, we can apply a slight spur to the First Lord's posterior in the House of Commons.
Oh, please, sir, no more trouble, I beg. Let the matter rest here. This is all I have ever asked for.
Oh, sir, the gentlemen at the front door say, please, will you make a statement? They won't go away until you do.
Very well, Violet. Thank you.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, what shall I say?
I hardly think it matters. Whatever you say will have little bearing on what they print.
What shall I say, Kate?
Oh, you'll think of something, Father. Let me wheel your chair out.
No. I refuse to meet the press in this ridiculous chariot. Get me my stick.
No, Father, you know what the doctor...
Get me my stick.
Oh.
Thank you. How's this? I'm happy to have lived long enough to have seen justice done to my son.
Oh, it's a little gloomy, Father. You're going to live for ages yet.
Am I? Wait and see. I could say, this victory is not mine. It is the people who have triumphed, as they always will triumph, over despotism. How does that strike you, sir? Trifle pretentious, perhaps?
Perhaps, sir. I should say it, nonetheless. It'll be very popular.
Hmm. Perhaps I'd better say what I really feel, which is merely, thank God we beat him.
Are you feeling all right, Sir Robert?
Oh, just a slight nervous reaction, that's all. Besides, I've not been feeling myself all day. I told the judge so this morning, if you remember. But I doubt if he believed me. What suspicious minds people have they not?
Yes. Sir Robert, I'm afraid I have a confession to make to you and an apology. I've entirely misjudged your attitude to this case, and if in doing so I've ever seemed to you either rude or ungrateful, I'm sincerely and humbly sorry.
My dear Miss Winslow, you've never seemed either rude or ungrateful. And my attitude to this case has been the same as yours, a determination to win at all costs. Only, when you talk of gratitude, you must remember that those costs were not mine, but yours.
Weren't they also yours, Sir Robert?
I beg your pardon?
Haven't you, too, made a certain sacrifice for the case?
The robes of that office would not have suited me.
Wouldn't they?
And what is more, I fully intend to have Curry expelled from the law society.
No, please, don't. He did me a great service by telling me.
Oh, very well, if you choose to endow an unimportant incident with a romantic significance, you're perfectly liberty to do so. I must go.
Why are you always at such pains to prevent people knowing the truth about you, Sir Robert?
Am I indeed?
You know you are. Why?
My dear Miss Winslow, are you cross-examining me?
On this point, yes. Why are you so ashamed of your emotions?
Emotions muddy the issue. Cold, clear logic. And buckets of it should be the lawyer's only equipment.
Was it cold, clear logic that made you weep today at the verdict?
Well, your maid, of course, told you that. No, it doesn't matter. It'll be in the papers tomorrow, anyway. Oh, very well, then, if you must have it, here it is. I wept today because right had been done.
Not justice?
No, not justice. Right. It's easy to do justice. Very hard to do right. Unfortunately, while the appeal of justice is intellectual, the appeal of right appears for some odd reason to induce tears in court. Well, that's my answer and my excuse. And now may I leave the witness box?
Oh, no. One last question. How can you reconcile your support of Winslow against the Crown with your political beliefs?
Oh, very easily. No one party has a monopoly of concern for individual liberty. On that issue, all parties are united.
I don't think so.
You don't?
No. Not all parties. Only some people from all parties.
That's a wise remark. We can only hope, then, that these some people will always prove enough people. You would make a good advocate.
Would I?
Yes. Why do you not canalize your feministic impulses towards the law courts, Miss Winslow, and abandon the lost cause of women's suffrage?
Because I don't believe it is a lost cause.
No? A pity. Here in the House of Commons, in days to come, I shall make a point of looking up at the gallery in the hope of catching a glimpse of you in that provocative hat.
I say, Sir Robert, I'm most awfully sorry. I didn't know anything was going to happen.
Where were you?
At the pictures.
Pictures?
Cinematograph show.
I'm most awfully sorry. I say we won, didn't we?
Yes, we won. Goodbye, Miss Winslow. Shall I see you in the house, then, one day?
Yes, Sir Robert, one day. But not in the gallery. Across the floor.
Perhaps. Goodbye.